Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
We start with full disclosure, and then we get into some really tasty stuff on this episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Thanks for being with us. As always, we have had a technical issue with the podcast, and many of you, I think, have sent emails in that I can see on my phone, but I cannot see on my desktop. I don't like responding to a lot of emails on my phone. It's just kind of a pain in the rear, and sometimes I like to, compose longer replies to the things you send in. So if you've sent an email, it's all on hold. My fiber is shot here at the house. I don't know what happened with our fiber optic cable, but I am without the internet. I've got no Wi-Fi. They were here for 5 hours yesterday. The signal coming into the house appears to be good. Nobody can seem to figure out exactly what's going on. They're going to send a street crew out today. There's been some construction two lots down from my house where I think that's the problem, but I'm no expert. I just know there's been a lot of digging and a lot of stuff going on, so I'm a little crippled here. The podcast was up very late on Wednesday. I apologize for that. We thought it was going to get fixed here at the house, so I waited and I waited, and three different crews came, and next thing I knew, it had been 3 hours. Nothing was happening, and I'm in a precarious spot. I can go to where Jessica is, and she's got Wi-Fi where she is, put the podcast on a thumb drive, go to her laptop and put it up and send it that way. So I can do that, but I was waiting, and I thought it was going to work, and finally I went and I did it that way. So this episode is being sent that way. It may be delivered a little bit late, but I got up earlier today. Hopefully we'll be right on time, but I appreciate all of you for sending emails guessing what the glitch was with Wednesday's podcast and what a difference it makes. For many of you, clearly your routine is to listen at some point between maybe 9:30 and 1 o'clock, 9:30 and 2 o'clock, and I think we missed a lot of those folks. You said, doggone it, I missed the podcast today. We did do two podcasts the day before, so there was enough content there for you to get something different if you normally listen to one in a daily slot, which is what we think a lot of you do. But my apologies, we're a little handcuffed, and we are not up and running as of Thursday. As of Thursday, we've got no internet here, no Wi-Fi, no streaming to the TVs. We're a little crippled here at KKHI, but it will not deter us from providing and producing an outstanding podcast today. In fact, I am stoked over this one. As basketball is starting, we move on from basketball and we focus on everything sports related because as we know, everything news related, because as you know, the podcast is not particularly timely. It's not breaking news, it's not live news. Many of you listen hours later. So there's some really great stuff out there. And I wanted to start today with what I think is the next big thing from the liberals. And it's a guy that I don't really know and hadn't heard of until this week. His name is Sam Harris. He is a writer and podcaster, apparently. And he is up on a pedestal with people on the left, man. I mean, they love this guy. Well, he went and did another podcast where somebody just asked some point-blank questions, and it was remarkable what came out of his mouth. Now, let me give you the headline here before I tell you what he said. The headline here is they're no longer going to try to define the narrative. They're no longer going to try to make an argument or a case for whatever it is that they're pushing on the left. And I think this is the sign that they have moved on from harvesting ballots, cheating in elections, having all this stuff going, all these different things that they did during the elections. We know the things that they did. None could be proven in court. Maybe there's a big machine holding it back. We all have different theories, but nobody believes that Joe Biden won the election and nobody believes he got, 15 million more votes than Barack Obama? I don't know a single person that believes that. I just don't. You could make an argument that people didn't like Trump and stopped voting for Trump, except he got millions more votes than 4 years earlier. So there were just a lot more votes in the election, and the overwhelming majority of the new votes went for the old man, Joe Biden, and this seems like a giant mistake. So I think everybody sees that. So it's really hard to keep your eye on these people and what they're going to do next. That's shifty. They've given hints of this. They tried to get their disinformation or misinformation board passed. That didn't work. The woman that was going to do that was a disaster for the Biden administration. So that didn't work. There is not a disinformation czar now at the federal government, but this is where they live. This is where they reside. This is their next big hill that they want to climb in winning elections over and over and over. They are going to work with media partners and big tech to convince Americans of the following. Conservatives shouldn't be allowed to have opinions. That's their next big thing. This is their battle cry. I can see this in the podcast interview, and a lot of people are really interested in what Sam Harris had to say. This is their next step, okay? He's a writer and a podcaster on the left who was asked about conservatives being right about COVID. And I don't know who the podcast person was doing it with him, but I don't think he was going to get these questions. I don't think that he thought he was going to get these questions, but he did. And I think it's called the Nerdcast or Chief Nerd Podcast or something like that. And the guy is kind of nerdy and he's not very talented, but he just stands there and asks basically point blank questions. And he said, well, what about all the conservatives that were right about COVID? You know, that the lockdowns were wrong and everything we did was wrong. And he tried to tiptoe around it. And then he said, well, what about all the conservatives that were right about the shot? That it was not a vaccine. It was experimental and it's damaging and harmful to people. And this man went on to say, Sam Harris, in his response, quote, we are swimming in a sea of misinformation. He said, if 97% of scientists agree that there is climate change and 3% don't, you can't really identify with the 3%. It's just too overwhelming. Well, this man clearly lives in a 97-3 world. And he was living in a 97-3 COVID and shot world. I think we all saw that and felt that. So Sam Harris said, conservatives shouldn't be allowed to have opinions, and specifically cited Candace Owens and said, who is she and why should she have an opinion on any of this? It's not justified. You shouldn't be listening to this. It is misinformation, disinformation. And then the follow-up question was about, he was said in 2022, that about the 2020 election, that there was a left-wing conspiracy that helped Biden beat Trump. And he said, yeah, well, that was because it was an existential threat to America. And that sort of thing is allowed. So he said out loud, yes, there was a left-wing conspiracy with big tech. We conspired and did all these things because Trump had to be stopped. He reiterated that and stated that 2 years after the election. Then he said conservatives should not be allowed to have opinions. And I think that's the next big thing. I think that's where they're going. I think they're going to brand conservative as people you shouldn't listen to their opinions, period. That it's dangerous for America, an existential threat, which they love to say. Then he defended the New York Times by saying why they were the last to verify the Hunter Biden laptop. He said, well, that's real journalism. They needed more time to verify it, and the other people on the right just got lucky. Okay, so let's recap. This man says it's 97% to 3%. You should never agree with the 3%. There's only 3% of us out there that think the election was rigged, that we treated COVID improperly, that the shot was dangerous, that the shot didn't work, and that the Hunter Biden laptop was real. In one interview, he said that and said, well, even 3% can get lucky. Even the small, he's basically saying, we know there's more than 3% Republicans. He just believes that 3% of the country is really conservative. And these are the people that are denying these things like climate change. And said, basically, they should not be allowed to have an opinion, which is very interesting because Kamala Harris went on Stephen Colbert this week and she didn't have an opinion. In fact, she didn't even have an answer. This is the softball interviews that they give her to try to make her look nice and friendly, and she embarrasses herself. She said something about, you know, the question was about the TV show Veep, which was Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and he said, was there any reality to being vice president and what that looked like? She goes, yeah, well, one time we have a fireplace, and one of my aides came in and started a fire and didn't open the flue, and we had to call the fire department, and there was a lot of smoke and stuff. And apparently that happened on one of the episodes of the actual show. And he said, well, we watched the show and we couldn't figure out exactly what the vice president does. What does the vice president do? And she couldn't answer. The question is, what is the job? And she stammered around and said, well, you know, it's to work for Joe Biden, who's loyal and he's a leader and he understands the position. No, he was vice president and understands and he supports me and he leads. And Colbert said, I guess you didn't hear the question. What is the question? What does the vice president do? And she said, well, we went to Munich recently for a Crimes Against Humanity summit, and I was there, and it was comical, but at the same time, it was, you're a do-nothing. She's our border czar, for crying out loud. This is an epic failure on behalf of the left. There could be no doubt about it. At the same time, on MSNBC this week, a host named Ture Neblett made the comment and went to Twitter and said woke, the word woke is now a slur, and he compared it to the N-word. He says it's a polite way for white people to say the N-word, that it's just racism, it's a dog whistle. But now this new word, the new N-word, includes LGBTQ along with black people. I would add that among white liberal people, nobody is more woke than white liberal people. You can't be more woke than white women. You just can't be. They want to be part of a different culture. They want everything changed. This is really difficult to say, but I believe this with all my heart. There are just millions of American white people that want to be black. They just want to be. They like the culture. They like the music. They see it in movies and TV shows. And they're always, in everything that we see, they're always the cool people. And the white person on there is always the foil. In any entertainment situation, any show, whether it's a drama or a comedy, it doesn't really matter. The black person is in the best position and the white person is either made fun of or reduced. That's what Hollywood has done. And there's this culture in America, especially with women, but not all, you know, it's maybe 60-40, more women than men, because we see that in the voting and we, you know, we know the turnout, and we see these things. There's nobody more woke in America than the whites that are liberal. So to sit here and say it's some sort of a racist term is simply outrageous. They have done this to themselves by pushing all these stories that fall on the marketing umbrella of woke, which they love, which is it was built out of the black American culture of the awakening. We're waking up. We're waking up to all these things everybody did to us. All the white people that kept us down, we're waking up to that. Whether I'm queer, whether I'm a minority, whether it's my religion, whether I'm an atheist, we've been beaten down by the white folks for so long, we are awakening. So once you have learned the scam of the white people, you've awakened, you're woke. That's where it came from. You woke up. You're woke. You're with it. You understand the scam of this country. This is systemic, if there ever was anything. It is a giant umbrella topic for everything in America that liberals hate. Whether it be a statue, our history, a person down the street, a conservative, a farmer, somebody in middle America, it doesn't really matter. Whatever they don't like about America, our military, our budget, whatever they don't like falls under the heading of woke. We're awake now. We see it, and we're the smart people, and we're the virtuous people, and we'll tell you the difference between good and bad, right and wrong. We will define that. Well, they built this term, and now they're just beginning to crack all over the place because we have this Sam Harris guy saying conservatives shouldn't be allowed an opinion. Well, you don't need one to use the word woke. They're going to try to take the, this is going to be really hard. They're going to try to take the word woke away from conservatives only. That's where they're headed. They're going to try to set up woke as the new word that white people can't use. You watch. You mark my word, because they branded something so well that's been around so long. America is waking up. And they're realizing that woke gets you broke. Woke doesn't work. And it's become pejorative at this point. And this MSNBC host has pointed this out. It's a polite way to say the N-word. It's a dog whistle. I mean, this is amazing. They're losing on every front on this. All with the prospect of an election coming up where Donald Trump is running. I know I've done some segments on DeSantis. My emails get split between Trump and DeSantis. To be honest, I don't think the audience of this podcast cares. Let's nominate one of these two and let's go kick some ass. I think that's where we are. Let's get somebody that can win. Let's get the White House back. There's a growing feeling among people like us that that last election was rigged, that the momentum is certainly there, that America will either recognize that Joe Biden must be stopped and I got to vote the other way, or I voted for Joe Biden last time and I'm going to stay home. I've never thought he was going to be the candidate. I don't see any, I'm going to say it right now, I don't see any way Joe Biden can win. I will not believe that the American electorate is that stupid. There's no way. There are a lot of people here that politically are indifferent and they just vote for a person. And I don't know that anybody could vote for Joe Biden after watching this for 4 years, watching him stumble and stammer around and all this. And now there's a piece of culture that is taking the internet by storm. It's on YouTube. And I'm going to tell you right now, watching this video, is more effective than hearing it right here. But I'm going to play this for you because it's really good. This is going to make their heads explode. This is an artist, a singer called Natasha Owens. She's a Christian rocker, Christian pop artist, okay? And if you go to YouTube and watch the video, it's called Trump Won and You Know It. That's it. Trump Won. Just Google, go on YouTube and hit Trump Won. This will pop up. It just came out. I mean, it has not only been out like not very long, a day, and it's got well over a million hits already. You probably haven't heard it, but I want to play it for you here because, and we're very picky about the music we play. You know that here. We're very picky about the things that we play. I really try to not play everything that's sent to me or everything I hear because a lot of it doesn't match up. You're going to love this, and I'm going to play it in its entirety. Go ahead and turn it up if you're not afraid who's around you and who's going to hear this. This is Natasha Owens, and this is going to get attacked by the left like you can't believe, and Trump is going to ask permission, and he is going to play this at his rallies, and the video that accompanies it is perfect. It is so good. It's Trump dancing. It's Biden stumbling on stairs. You have to see the video. This is 30% as good as watching the video. Natasha Owens, Trump won. Roll that beautiful bean footage. That is just too good to be true. That is called Trump Won and You Know It by Natasha Owens. You can see it all over YouTube and the interwebs. I'm sure you'll see it in other media outlets now. And I am almost positive Trump is going to be playing this absolutely everywhere he goes. It is a phenomenal video to go along with it and a very well-made song. Whether you agree with the message or not, or to the extent or everything that she puts in it, I can't say. I just know that's how you defeat these people. We're learning and we're finding people that are unafraid and they're doing this. And that is a great piece of culture that's going to go all over. Now, committed people on the left, you're not changing anybody's mind. You're not. But this will get shared between a lot of women, you know, bouncing around on Instagram and Facebook and social media, and they'll be sharing it right and left, and they'll be looking at it. And a lot of women aren't very political, but the song is good, and the video's catchy, and they may watch it. And they may not walk away from it thinking, oh, I want to vote for Trump, but they may walk away with a different appreciation for everything. They may look at that video and hear those words of that song and go, you know what? Maybe that guy did win. Maybe we did get scammed. And just plant the seed. So much of swinging the people who don't really care about politics, and millions of them are dumb. Millions of our voters have no clue. They just go vote and they do it. They don't pay much attention. They don't follow the stuff. They don't really know the issues. It's okay. There's nothing you can do in a democracy. Everybody gets a vote. Not all all votes are equal, regardless of how smart you are or how informed you are. That's okay. These things being passed around the internet plant seeds. That's all you're trying to do, is just put something in the back of somebody's mind that, hey, these Trump people aren't crazy. This is a fun video. That's a fun song. This is cool to look at. I love it. I absolutely love it. KKHI is brought to you by NKCDental.com. Quick story. My dentist appointment was scheduled for Wednesday, but as my fiber is shot into the house here, I had to cancel my dentist appointment. I just felt terrible that I had to cancel because I canceled like 45 minutes out. You know, they always ask you days in advance because they're busy at NKC Dental. They'll schedule you in and then they text you and make sure you're coming. I'm like, yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. And then this episode happened at the house and I missed my appointment. So my apologies to my friends at NKC Dental. I'll be seeing Dr. Bush here coming up in a couple of weeks. I had to reschedule, but they worked with me. I'm still going to go to the Westwood office. That's actually a little more convenient for me where I live. So I'll be going to the West Plaza office in Westwood, Kansas. It's right by that racket club there off of Rainbow. And it's a great office. And I see Dr. Bush there. You can see him there or in North Kansas City. Either way, same number to call to book an appointment, 816-471-2911 or online at nkcdental.com. Ron Buck and his team at Buck Roofing have been with, well, between radio and the podcast, I don't remember the last time Ron Buck wasn't a partner of mine. I mean, this guy, I just can't say enough about him. I can't say enough about Ron Buck and his team. And I got a couple more emails last week from folks that had called him and he came out and they just were so thrilled with the service they got. He really is better than the other guys. And he does not mind if you get another bid. It does not bother him at all. He bids everything as low as he can, and he treats KKHI listeners like family. I think that's a really cool thing, man. I think that's a cool thing. I think Buck is a cool guy, and I'd be honored if you thought enough of him and his company to give them the opportunity to either inspect your roof or a bid on a repair or a new roof. 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. My guy Mark Lindquist over at 360 Document Solutions, huge college basketball fan. He spent a great deal of his life and career in Wichita, loves the Shockers as they're looking for a new coach. Wichita State's looking for a new coach. We hear Mark Turgeon's name being bounced around a little bit around Wichita State. That could be a possibility. I think at Wichita State, they'd like to find the next big thing. So I've been texting Mark a little bit about that. I think he likes the Jayhawks. He likes K-State. I think he likes a lot of teams. But he spent a great deal of time in Wichita. And I'll say this about Wichita State fans. Folks who are Wichita State fans, I think they have a deeper love and appreciation for their program than most because they know it's a little harder. I don't think they see themselves as underdogs. They've had too much success. They've been too good for too long. I don't think they view it that way. I just think they know we've put ourselves in a position where we should be really proud of where we are and we value this. We know that it was hard getting here, but we're here. And we wish them the very best, their next coach. They deserve to have a good coach and a really good program. Anyway, it says a little bit about Mark's connection to the state of Kansas. You know, he's going to be rooting for KU on Thursday. He's going to be rooting for K-State on Friday night. He's going to be rooting for Missouri against Utah State. His clients are all either in the western part of Missouri or somewhere in the state of Kansas. And that is College Basketball USA is a big time of year for him. If you think he sounds like the kind of guy, oh, and he loves him some Trump now. If you think this might be the kind of person you'd like to do business with, I do too. Call Mark at 913-745-5344. His company is online at 360documentsolutions.com. He's just awesome. Okay, we've seen the drone video now, and we now know Russia has lied that we didn't crash into them or something crazy like that. We didn't provoke them. The video's out there. You can see the Russian jet flying right over the drone and dropping fuel on it and all this other stuff. And somehow they grazed. I've not heard the terrific explanation yet on how they somehow grazed a propeller on that drone and downed it. It seems very dangerous for a fighter jet to graze a drone, but I guess it's possible. I don't know exactly how that occurred. You don't exactly see that in what I saw anyway. There may be more footage that I haven't seen. But there's no question this was provoked by Russia. Russia has a ship now in the sea there, and they're trying to find parts and pick pieces up. Our folks are saying it's hundreds of feet deep there, and a lot of this stuff's at the bottom of the ocean, and they'll never get it. We couldn't get there because we don't have a ship there. So Russia's whatever's floating, Russia's going to get. They're going to pick that up. And I think it begs this question. Look, I don't like this war anymore. I liked Zelensky in the beginning. I thought, well, this guy's a stand-up guy. He's not leaving. It seemed like a two-week war. We thought Russia was going to throw more at Ukraine than they are. Ukraine is losing ground every day. I mean, if you look at the actual hot map online and see what Russia has, they've got over, it looks like a backwards C because they're coming from the east, not the west. If you look at the red part that Russia now controls, it's a backwards C. It's a giant comma, okay, and they're just coming around from the north and the south, and they've got little places off the sea where they're coming in and from Russia. And they're just gaining more and more ground. And the longer this goes, if Putin wants it all, it's all going to be his. Now, he's going to lose a lot of Russians. A lot of people are going to die. This is a lot about America because all Putin really wanted in the beginning was to shut up, stop talking about Ukraine being part of NATO. We're not going to allow that. And Biden wouldn't do that. We kept poking and poking and poking. And I think my personal belief is, and you could see this, as much as they talked about Russia and as many ultimatums as they gave, like we're going to blow up the pipeline if they invade, we're going to defend Ukraine if they invade, they just kept poking Russia with a stick, Biden did. They wanted them to invade. They want this war. And I'm going to keep saying this, and it's an unseemly, awful thing to say. It's terrible. But I believe it to my core. I believe that the United States wants to provoke Russia into something completely and utterly outrageous against the United States to where we have no choice but to retaliate. This isn't it because we didn't have people in that drone. That's just $32 million worth of metal and technology sitting in the Black Sea. We didn't have people there. Nobody died. This Biden administration, I'm telling you, they are just so every day hoping that Putin will do something stupid to the United States that will bring us in to where we can fire shots and blow stuff up in Russia or kill some Russians. And when they do that, Biden says the war is on. I'm a wartime president and everybody in America, I'm one of them. If that happens, I'll be behind the U.S. military, man. I will not like that war, but I will be behind the U.S. military all the way. And if it's started, you go fight to win. And God help us where that goes. What that leads to with the two biggest nuclear powers on the planet, God help us all. That's the game Biden is playing, and he's playing it to get reelected. You can no longer look at the Democrat Party in the United States with any doubt that they will do anything to win an election. Anything. There have been other presidents throughout American history. They say, hey, did they start this war? Is this conflict taking place? Because when wars break out, presidents become more popular. America becomes more galvanized. She gets behind a president. You can't look at this now and not think that. You can't look at this and the Biden's history of business in Ukraine and the stuff that they did to Trump about Ukraine and Russia and not think, well, they were blaming Trump for doing all this stuff because they've been doing it. And the Bidens are hooked up into it and all these people have gotten rich off of it. This has been a pot of gold for liberals. Ukraine and Russia, pot of gold for liberals. Now they're involved in a war with your tax dollars, depleting our military resources, actually making us weaker should we decide to go in or should we decide to do something. We're getting weaker every single day. Theoretically, Russia is too. But this is scary as hell. And I don't like any of it. And I don't trust Biden. And I don't trust the Democrats. And my fear has been on this. And I've been very open about this. My fear is we're not going to strike. We're not going to do something. We're not going to say, I don't think we're just all of a sudden going to say, hey, we're going to send our fighter jets to start patrolling or put a no-fly zone in. That makes us an active participant. I think what they are dying for is for Putin to do something dumb. For some sort of an altercation in the sky where they down one of our jets and kill a couple of our pilots. And now it's on. I'm telling you. I hope I'm wrong. And if you think I'm wrong, I would love to see your emails. And I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But I can't see it any other way. I just can't. And now what are we going to do about this drone? So this happens. And nothing. That's fine. I'm good with that. I don't want any physical retaliation. If you want to seize $32 million worth of Russian goods at one of our ports or something like that, go for it. I got no problem with that. Here's $32 million for our $32 million lost. I'm on board with that. Again, that's a small number. Losing one drone is a small, small event for the United States military. But Russia did it. They did it on purpose. And maybe the retaliation here is monetary to build a new drone. I don't know. I actually, other than the fact that Biden is so weak, it wouldn't bother me if we don't do much. If I thought we were doing something behind the scenes, or if he called Putin and, you know, there was some sort of a, you know, we're going to do this or, you know, stop, leave us. I don't know. But I don't think Biden does anything like that. I think Biden is just sitting here saying, poke us, poke us, poke us, until my people have said, we can't take this anymore from you. We want to retaliate. I think, honest to God, the Chinese spy balloons, all this stuff, I think he's like, let's just don't do anything. Eventually, the American public will be swayed by this. And even if they say, well, Biden's a chicken spit, what are we going to do about chicken spit Biden? He won't do anything. If the sentiment in America becomes, fire some shots, drop a bomb, do something, if that becomes the sentiment, that's a win for Biden. And he knows that. Even if America sees him as weak and worthless, that will be a win for him. That is his end goal. It's the saddest thing I've seen in my life, and it's scary as hell. We're flirting with World War III. I mean, I'd like to think Putin and Biden would be sensible enough that they wouldn't fire nukes at each other, but we're just going to sit here and kill our own military people in lieu of, I don't understand any of it. I'm an anti-war guy. I don't think the world's ever going to be at peace. I think you protect your own borders. You have your own country, you protect your own borders, and that's that. There certainly are countries to protect and take care of. Ukraine isn't one of them. We don't have a huge national interest there. They're not part of NATO. They were part of the Soviet Union. Russia stakes a claim to them. Ron DeSantis is right. This is a territorial conflict. That's what it is. Russia sees that land as theirs. Ukraine sees it as theirs. Let them spat it out. It's not our fight. It would be no different than Mexico at some point saying, you know what? We want back this land that's in Texas. The first 75 miles of Texas we see still as our land that you got from us when you pushed us out. We see that as ours. Well, come and get it. Guess what? They're not going to. They're not getting our land because we're strong enough to defend our own land. But if you don't think there's disagreement on where the borders should be in this country, there are plenty of them. There's plenty of territorial wars in history in this country of where our national sovereignty is, where our lines are. That's all this is. This isn't Putin going to some region saying, I'm taking this over for, you know, he's not going into Iran or Saudi Arabia, taking it over and saying, we're trying to be Hitler and take over the world. He's trying to get back what was once theirs. That is by definition a territorial conflict. It's been up for debate throughout history. It has changed. That is not our interest, period. It just isn't. I think most of you agree with me on that. Now, that doesn't mean you don't like the funding. That doesn't mean we don't want to help Ukraine. I get it. I just think we've done enough now. We've gone over a year. We've spent enough money. We've sent enough munitions. It's got to stop. I think the momentum now needs to be, we can't help anymore. Ukraine's losing, for God's sake. If Ukraine was winning, if we went like 7 or 8 days at a time where Russia didn't do anything because their losses were so massive, they haven't crossed the border, they haven't gotten any land, if they had no gains, if they'd done nothing, then I say, okay, stay with this. This is great because they'll quit. They're going to retreat and it'll be over. They're not going to retreat and it's not going to be over. They're winning very slowly and deadly. they're winning. And no matter how much money we throw at it, the Ukrainians aren't going to be able to stave this off. I think anybody can see that. All right, let's talk about something a little bit more fun. And that is time away with your family. A lot of folks in the spring and summer months head toward Manhattan and wind up having a soccer tournament or a softball or baseball tournament there. Or maybe you do business or travel throughout the state of Kansas. If you're looking for a great place to stay, the Bluemont Hotel is the best hotel in Manhattan. It is not close. It is a wonderful place. They do great outings, too. If you have a wedding there or you're going there for some sort of an event, a corporate event, with the government facilities, the university, just give them a call at the Bluemont Hotel or log on to bluemonthotel.com. Let them know that you're coming. And if you've got something special that you'd like to arrange, they'll do it for you. If you need a special dinner or conference room or want to get set up in Goolsby's Indoor Entertainment Center, restaurant and bar there, it's pretty cool. It's a great spot. The Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, bluemonthotel.com. Joslyn's Jewelry, the weekend is ahead of us, folks. Get to Joslyn's if you're ready to shop for something cool for the love of your life. Maybe you have an anniversary coming up. Maybe you're thinking about popping the question. This is a different topic for a lot of different people, but I get a lot of emails from people that say they've gone to Joslyn's and they bought a ring and they're getting married and I'm so happy for them. And then I email them back and we kind of go back and forth. And for many folks, they're either widowed or divorced or older or getting remarried in an older age. That's cool too. That's pretty cool. And the ring's the same, man. If you're in love and you're getting married, the ring is the same. And Joslyn's Jewelry is going to save you some money. And they've got great rings. Gary and his team handpick all their own diamonds. And you can select them right there in the case or from the safe. 95th and Antioch, joslynsjewelry.com, the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. Whether it's a kitchen, a bathroom, a man cave, man, they are good at this. They're really good. Brittany and Jed just do Jed's the young boy, but Brittany and Tim are such great parents. Jed's their little baby, and they do such a great job with your entire project. Brittany gets involved. They help you with design. They have people that will help you with picking out countertop colors, flooring, all those things. It's a very easy process. Once you've decided all of your products, they're going to come in and do it, and they're going to do most jobs in 2 weeks or less. They'll hit that thing. They'll send everybody in, man, all at once, because they know you don't want work going on at your house for 3 months. That's their motto. That's absolutely their goal. And I don't think other remodelers really approach it like that. We're going to get everybody in. We're going to do this perfectly and on time, just like we said. CrossKitchensKC.com, 816-898-7047. I got a buddy getting ready to tear up his basement and man cave and do all that good stuff with Cross Kitchens. That's going to be a good time for them. I don't think there is any doubt about that. Well, you know we love dogs here at KKHI, right? We got a great dog story for you at the very, very end of the podcast, so stick around for that. On a local front, a couple of big stories taking place. The first is a friend of mine, Gary Lezak, who was the meteorologist at Channel 41. I used to work with Gary at Channel 4. I've known him since the 90s. Gary and I are friends. It's been a few months. We had lunch a few months ago. We stay in touch. He was leaving his position at Channel 41, starting his own venture, wanted to know about podcasting. Now does a podcast. Maybe, I don't know how often he does them, but he does a little bit of that. That is not his main business. Gary Lezak is killing it. Killing it. He has a company called Weather 2020. And he was explaining to me when I had lunch with him what he does. He's like, yeah, I got a whole bunch of agriculture companies that, you know, getting a forecast 7 to 14 days out is nice. What they really want to know is long-term trends. And so all these different agriculture and mineral businesses and transportation businesses, they like to know an idea of what the trends will be in a certain year based on what we're seeing in other places in the world, what it will be. Gary Lezak is getting credit for predicting Hurricane Ian last fall. The one in Florida, was it Ian? Is that the name of it? He predicted it months out. He predicted it in March, and he said it's going to be between these dates and this dates. And I think he gave like a 14-day period, and that is when the thing hit. And it was massive, and he got it. He looks at patterns earlier in the year all over the world and says, here's historically what happened 27 years ago when this pattern happened, let's say, off of Africa. 27 years ago this happened, and X number of days later, the Florida coast was hit with a hurricane. It's called the LRC, the Lezak Recurring Current. I think that's what LRC stands for. Anyway, his company is Weather 2020. And he got a lot of credit in the industry for being the first person several months out to say during this time that hurricane was going to hit. Well, he's a little bit controversial in his business, all right? Because they're like MIT scientists. Gary's a smart guy. He went to the University of Oklahoma. Listen, I went to K-State. We both think we're smart guys, and we're broadcasters, and we know our business. And he has taken all of his meteorology knowledge that from years and years and years, and in his spare time, he's worked on all these models and long-range things because it's his passion. It is also his hobby. He wasn't making any money doing this at home. He was just doing it on his own time. But over the years, as he did it, it got better and better and better. And he's now partnered up with another company that they are at. And this was at the Daily Beast. I read this at Daily Beast. He's making national news now. He's partnered with another company, and they were at the Natural Disaster Expo in Florida. And the Daily Beast has written a story called, quote, "Inside the Controversial Claim Rocking the Weather World," unquote. And then they interview guys from MIT and stuff. They go, well, listen, he said 64% chance there'd be a hurricane. That's the height of hurricane season. You give a two-week period in Florida and say this is going to happen, you probably do have about a 64% chance of that being right. He was just saying it in March. So there's a lot of scientists out there that are saying Gary's just looking at models and taking percentages and saying here's the chance that this could happen or whatever. It doesn't matter. Gary's got a whole bunch of these things that were right. He's got other ones that were not right. Predicting the weather is really hard. It's hard to predict the weather a week out, let alone 5 months out. But he's doing it. Now he's partnered with another company. They're at this expo, and he's the talk of the expo. And it is controversial, but the people that are signing on with them, I'm telling you, Lezak, this company is going to make a gazillion bucks. They're going to make a gazillion bucks. And Gary, you're a friend of mine, and I believe in what you do. I don't know enough about it to like buy in and say, wow, you're great at this. This is awesome. Or whether you're just great at marketing and sales and people are buying your product and doing it. I don't have that answer. I don't know. All I know is throughout the history of man, there has been a craving, an appetite for human beings to know what the weather is going to be. It is part of our DNA. It is as human and as much instinct in us as eating, hunting, survival, anything, whether it's I don't want to freeze to death or I'm worried about my crops or whatever it may be. Folks, we've had cultures that do rain dances, and they have believed that if they dance properly with the right music playing, they're going to get rain and their crops will be saved or their livestock or whatever it may be. We are fixated on weather, and that will never change. No matter how much technology we'll have, it will never change. There are industries out there right now that if they know, whether it's, you know, logistics, distribution, trucking, agriculture, minerals, technology, there's all kinds of different industries out there. If they just can get a little bit of an idea of what's going to happen with weather patterns, say right now, we're in March. In August, is there going to be a drought in August? How can I prepare if this model is telling me this is going to be the driest? I'm a wheat farmer in Kansas or whatever, corn in Iowa. And this is going to be the driest season we've ever had. I've been warned. I can prepare for this. I can try to figure it all out. Or maybe if you believe enough in it, you say, I'm not planning as much, or I'm selling more early, or I'm planning earlier, or whatever. There are people in industries out there that would die to have some inside information on that. Even if it's not 100% accurate, which nobody would expect it to be. And Lezak is tapping into this, and he's making a huge, huge story in the meteorology world, the weather world. Read it at the Daily Beast. Daily Beast is a liberal rag, by the way. If they find out Lezak's conservative, he may be in real trouble. So don't tell anybody that Gary Lezak is conservative, because these media outlets and probably the weather world in general is way left-leaning. Most people in his business are climate freaks. He is not one of them. He's conservative. He's a great dude, man. I'm telling you, he's a great dude. I will also tell you this. Gary could be in any business and he'd win. If he worked for your company, was in sales, he'd be your top seller. I mean, this man has energy. People love him. He doesn't stop working. He's amazing. He's an amazing person. Y'all kind of know him as, oh, the friendly guy with the big smile, whatever. No. This guy, you want to talk about American exceptionalism and individualism? You know, the power of the individual to go make their own. This is the guy. And he's, you know, he doesn't talk about overcoming obstacles because he's gay. He doesn't talk about that. It doesn't come up. He doesn't see that. Of course, if I had a deep conversation with him, was he picked on maybe when he was younger? Has he heard things? I'm sure he has. He never talks about that stuff. He doesn't care. He loves this country. He loves everything about it. And he just goes and kicks ass every day. And nobody's going to stop him. Nobody. He had the best job in the city. And he walked away from it and said, you know what? I think I'm about to become a multimillionaire here with this company. Now he's partnered up with another company, which is obviously an influx of cash. He becomes the marketing part, the front of it. They've bought the copyright, the LRC, which he's copyrighted. This is a big deal. Now, if you're not into weather or whatever, whatever, but if you're into any kind of business or people that are successful in business, I'm telling you, I'm jealous of this dude, man. And he's my friend. Jealous isn't the right word. But, you know, maybe there was something in sports that I could have thought of where I could have gone and done this and had a service and combined it with another company. Well, there was. We started a radio station once, and then we were offered a spit pile of money for it and didn't take it. Maybe that's why Gary's got me down. My partners didn't want to take it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Why did we buy this thing and do this? We built this into a monster. They're offering us three times what we paid for it. Like 2.5 years later? Sell. Are you kidding me? We're not some, these other companies have 1,000 radio stations. We have one. We've made a pile. Let's sell. No. 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 Lee Zach, on the other hand, he has crushed it. Way to go, Gary. You are incredible and awesome. Also in Kansas City, we have KC Southern Railway. There's a Turnpike Troubadours song called Kansas City Southern. You hear me talk about Turnpike Troubadours every now and then. And it's not in the chorus or anything. It's the very first line of the song as well. I was working on the KCS Railway, and it's called Kansas City Southern. They like to name their songs about towns. It's not really about Kansas City even. Anyway, Kansas City Southern is a very famous railway. Canadian Pacific Railway has purchased Kansas City Southern. Canadian Pacific, of course, is based in Minneapolis. It is now the only rail company that connects Canada, the United States, and Mexico. They're the only one. It's going to create 800 new jobs, $31 billion. Canadian Pacific has purchased KC Southern. The new company is called Canadian Pacific Kansas City, and the Minneapolis headquarters and jobs are moving to Kansas City. That's the cool part here. 800 new jobs, and the folks from Minnesota are coming here, and that makes sense because there's a lot more trains running through here than there are Minnesota. It's not that they aren't running through Minnesota, but we are at the cross. This is again, our geography, the hub. This is a big deal. We're going to have 12 more trains every day from Kansas City to Texas. 14 more trains in Iowa, if you live in Iowa. Doesn't sound like much, but if you already live by trains or hear trains, now add 10 or 12 more to that. Because some of these main lines are the main lines, and most of those trains will be there. Most of the new company will, and the reason that shareholders believe this is a great deal, is this will be the massive railway for grain, right, from the Midwest to Canada and Mexico, grain, and automotive parts and vehicles. So automobile parts and finished vehicles will be all over this railway. It's going to be called Canadian Pacific Kansas City with a new branding, 800 new jobs, relocation of the Minneapolis part to Kansas City. This is all good. It's all good if it's true. It's all good if it's true. Sometimes they say, oh, we're keeping your jobs. We're doing this. We're doing that. This is all good if it's true. All right. Before we finish with dogs, I want to thank my friends at Back 9 Development for sponsoring KKHI. Three custom homes he's working on right now in the Kansas City area. If you'd like to speak to TJ about a custom home or a commercial project, or if you have your own land and don't know exactly what the best idea is to develop it or sell it, he might have a great idea for you. Call TJ at 785-236-0161. Online at back9development.com. Commercial homes, commercial properties, custom homes, room additions, you name it, Back 9 Development loves working with people like us. TJ is a great guy. So log on to back9development.com or call TJ. Say, hey, listen, I want to talk to you about this possible project I have. There is no dream too big or too small. If you've thought of it, you have some land or you see some land or you have an idea, call him with it. 785-236-0161. That is back9development.com. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is online at advantagetpc.com. It is time to call about getting rid of the critters this spring, because they're coming for you. As soon as it warms up, they're coming for you. 913-768-8989. Residential and commercial. Over 20 years in business, I've been a customer. Advantage Termite and Pest Control. They also do lawn care. If you'd like to set it up, they'll do it all. They'll do all your pest control, all your lawn care, everything you got. AdvantageTPC.com. And BStock.net, the place to get a new big screen for all the college basketball madness going on this March. If you want to see the red tag deal auction of the week, you can find that at thekklist.com. That is thekklist.com. For a ridiculous low price right now at an auction that not a lot of people go to, not a lot of people look at this auction, there's an HP 255 G7 laptop. That is awesome. And it's going for a really low price right now. It ends at 5 o'clock on Friday. Each week we'll auction a different item, and it ends at 5 o'clock on Friday. The way to hit the auction is go to thekklist.com, thekklist.com. Click on Red Tag Deal Auction of the Week. It's all brought to you by bstock.net. They're in Olathe, 14680 South Flaming Road. You can walk right in and buy anything electronics. Computers, TVs, you know the drill. These folks are great. It's a wonderful opportunity for Kansas Cityans to save big on electronics and the fact that we live here and have BStock's warehouse here. Pretty cool stuff. Okay, my wife's parents had a pair of golden retrievers many years ago, Marley and Macy. Sweet dogs, loving dogs, beautiful dogs. And it seemed like at that time everybody had a retriever. And a lot of people still do. I still see a lot of them. And I remember looking up, this has maybe been 15 years ago, I remember looking up, oh, that's the number one dog in America. This is the most popular dog in America. Well, it turns out the golden retriever was the most popular dog in America for 30 years. 30 straight years. It was the number one most popular dog for people to acquire in the United States. And that has now been topped in the 2023 survey and list. We have a new champion. The golden retriever is no longer number one. It is the French bulldog, the Frenchies. We got some friends with the Frenchie. That dog's nuts. But, you know, I don't know. I've been around a lot of Frenchies. It's nuts in a great way. It's just, it makes you laugh all day long. You just laugh with this dog. I never know whether I'm laughing at Duke or with Duke. I don't know. But I always ask him, what's the truck look like? Because, you know, a French bulldog looks like they were running, chasing a truck, and then the truck hit the brakes and their face got smashed in. It's a joke. But Duke's a lovable, awesome dog. He's just fantastic. But I have not decided, like, I laugh at my dog. But I think sometimes with Duke, I'm laughing with him. Because I think he's running around in his own little world laughing at all of us. I'm not really sure. That's possible. These things are really coveted. They're really expensive. And people really will steal them. The French Bulldog, now the number one most coveted dog in the United States. We love dog stories. Dan KKHI. No sports on this one. The tournament's underway. I can't help you there. For the patrons, I'm going to send out I can't do a patron podcast until I get my fiber back up. It's too complicated. It's too difficult the way we're doing this thing. We're going to work on it. I'm going to get you some patron content. But the patrons, my apologies to you. You're getting gypped a little bit here this week, but I don't know what else to do about it. We've got a technical issue. We are very fortunate to be able to just get this podcast up. And thank you every day for listening to KKHI. Please tell your friends about it. I hope you enjoyed some of the big topics we talked about today. This was fun for me and some food for thought, certainly. There's some big, big items there. And I hope you enjoyed that song. Trump won, and you know it. It's KKHI. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.